From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Senator Kamala Harris of California and Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington have just introduced a federal domestic workers' bill of rights. There are already 8 states and 1 city, Seattle, that have passed similar bills. Harris and Jayapal, together with Ai-Jen Poo of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, penned an op-ed in CNN to describe the bill. They wrote, this Bill of Rights would close legal loopholes excluding domestic workers from certain federal labor and civil rights laws. The legislation would also create meal and rest breaks and establish fair scheduling practices, as well as strengthening support networks for domestic workers who are survivors of workplace sexual harassment and assault. There's much more in the bill, and joining us to describe that and the conditions that domestic workers face nationwide is Mariana Vituro, Deputy Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Welcome to the program, Mariana.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, define what is a domestic worker. How do we describe a domestic worker? It's kind of a vague and broad term, and I imagine that it includes both workers who are part of the formal economy and also the informal economy?
Yeah, that's right. So we, the National Domestic Workers Alliance, we represent, we estimate around the 2 million domestic workers across the country. Domestic workers are the nannies, house cleaners, and home care workers who work in private homes, mostly behind closed doors in private homes across the country. Children, right. The care for our homes, and the care for seniors and people with disabilities.
So they're basically workers that work in other people's homes at the home level, and so they don't generally have a traditional workplace.
That's right. The home is their workplace, which is why we often call it sort of the Wild West, where your working conditions and standards are really based on the goodwill of the employer rather than general standards. These women have largely been sort of invisible and are therefore sort of vulnerable to kind of the whims of the their employers and the home that they work in.
And so they are mostly women?
Yes, they're majority women, immigrant women, women of color.
So you have a situation where there are about 2 million of these at a time when Americans are living longer. So the need for elder care in the home in particular is quite great. But also child care becomes extremely expensive and life is expensive. And so more mothers and fathers are working. So there's a greater need for in-home child care. It seems as though domestic workers... that this is a part of our economy that's quite large and only going to be growing, and yet there's no real federal rules that govern their rights?
No, so absolutely. So this is really the impetus for Senator Harris and Representative Jayapal to work with us in introducing this bill. As you pointed out, with the increasing aging populations, where every day 10,000 Americans turn 65, and with more and more women entering the workforce, there's sort of an increased need for domestic work, paid domestic work in the home. So it is actually, in fact, the fastest, largest growing job sector in the U.S. Care jobs are the jobs sort of the future. They aren't able to be automated or outsourced. And so part of the vision for the Federal Bill of Rights is really to ensure that these future jobs are quality jobs, are good jobs that are able to sort of provide fair compensation, benefits, and that workers have sort of a voice on the job.
So why have domestic workers been left out of federal labor laws? I mean, we have laws that are very specific that cover workers, such as how many hours of work you can go without Taking a meal break, the number of times that a worker has to be allowed to, be able to use the restroom. There are very limited, but some laws in place for sick leave. Why is it that domestic workers, I'm thinking it sort of reminds me of how tipped workers are often excluded from a lot of labor laws, and it seems as though domestic workers fall into a similar category?
No, that's right. And in some ways, like what we've been doing around the country for the last decade is really fixing the exclusions of domestic workers that remain from the legacy of slavery. So much of what we know in this country is sort of like the labor framework, and the basic sort of rights and protections of workers that were passed during the New Deal. Domestic workers were explicitly excluded because it was Black women who did that work. And so legislators did not want to ensure that they would have the same rights and protections as workers, and also not be able to sort of organize and build power. And so, years, decades later, we're still sort of meant like some of those exclusions remain, and we're still sort of fighting to ensure that domestic workers and all workers have the same rights and benefits on the job.
I imagine one challenge also is that when the workplace is someone's private home, it's hard to document, abuses. It's not like there's just an HR department you can walk into or your coworkers that might witness some harassment or injury that you face or a discrimination that you face, right?
No, that's right. And we've been passing similar bills in states. To date, we have 8 states that have passed Bill of Rights, as well as the city of Seattle. And each state, the bill is a bit different based on sort of the specific laws and exclusions in that state. But I think one important challenge is definitely sort of enforcement, and how do we translate these laws into reality within someone's workplace? And so, in this bill, in the federal bill, as well as in some of the state bills, is really thinking about the what are sort of like innovative ways to ensure compliance and ensure that what is one is then the reality in people's homes.
So let's talk about specifically what's in the federal version of the bill. Just reading the CNN op-ed that Kamala Harris and Pramila Jayapal and Ai Jenpu of the National Domestic Workers Alliance wrote, this seems to be a very comprehensive bill. And imagine, generally that's how one does legislation. You put in everything you want, and then presumably there'll be some political compromise, or in an ideal world, it would just pass because it's the right thing to do. But this Bill of Rights seems to have not just things that involve giving workers some kind of resource or some kind of recourse, rather, to action if they are discriminated against, but also very basic things like paid sick days. I imagine that a nanny or a home care worker right now, if they fall sick, would simply have to miss a day of work and risk losing their job or just not get paid for that day. So paid sick days, but even things like health care and retirement savings. So this sounds like a very comprehensive bill.
Yeah, and we wanted, I mean, the idea with the bill is to sort of push forward kind of a comprehensive agenda that meets the needs and sort of brings solutions to the problems that domestic workers face. Now, because of the nature of the work and many domestic workers being sort of informally employed, very few domestic workers have access to any form of benefits. Definitely no security for retirement. And so part of the bill is really fixing some of the exclusions, like ensuring that all domestic workers have the right to overtime pay or minimum wage, making sure that domestic workers have safe and healthy conditions on the job, and have the protections against discrimination and harassment. But then also thinking about some of the specifics that we need to define for the particularities of the industry, like paid time off, like meal and rest breaks, like flexibility in scheduling if there's changes in your in when you can go to work or cancellations, and really thinking about what are the mechanisms and new sort of infrastructure that's needed in order to ensure that domestic workers have access to benefits like health insurance and in retirement.
So,
as
Mariana,
well as
yeah,
have
go ahead.
A influence in shaping how the industry looks in the future, right? Any specific industry standards that we may want to establish. How do we bring workers and employers together to sort of define those?
Now, who are the employers in such jobs? Because I imagine that if one is hiring a home care worker, one would do it through an agency. If one is hiring a nanny, one might do it just directly with the nanny, in which case it would be sort of an informal arrangement. And would all of the things you're describing will cost money, right? The money has to come from somewhere to provide paid sick leave, et cetera. It's very much needed money. But at the same time, some of the people that are hiring the nannies and need them, and the home care workers and the, you know, all the other sort of gamut of domestic workers may not be able to afford to foot the cost, extra cost required, especially seniors and elders. Where would the money come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a couple of things there. So one is that every kind of each of the sectors within the industry, so house cleaners, versus nannies versus home care, sort of, I think the work arrangements and the employers are sort of different for each of those kind of sub segments of domestic work. And so I think what we're trying to do in the bill is both ensure that that employers that are not able to sort of afford some of the benefits are either like supported or you know, exempt from having to pay them. So one thing is we're looking at integrating sort of an affordability piece in 2019 into the bill, recognizing that, you know, families across the country, especially low income and even lower middle class income families, are having a hard time paying for the care and the services that they need. So we want to make sure that we're sort of supporting the affordability of care, but at the same time ensuring that those jobs are quality jobs. And for those employers who are able to pay, we want to make sure that they're compensating the workers fairly and also sort of providing some of the additional benefits that workers need in order to thrive.
So what about, I mean, wouldn't it be nice, of course, if we had, say, a single payer healthcare system, then this bill wouldn't need to worry about healthcare for domestic workers. It seems as though part of the problem is that there isn't enough government support in general, right? It's not just about enforcing Americans' proper treatment of domestic workers, but also just a lack of government-supported infrastructure for all workers in the United States, right?
That's absolutely right. And I think what we're trying to do is really create a model. And when we put forward this federal bill of rights, we believe that it's not only domestic workers, but all workers that deserve a basic safety net, fair compensation, access to benefits, including healthcare and retirement. And so we hope that domestic worker Bill of Rights and domestic workers can really play a leadership role in expanding all of those sort of protections and rights and benefits to all workers.
What led to this moment? I know that your organization, the National Domestic Workers Alliance, you're based in New York, and the the organization really, I understand, started this whole conversation on the rights of domestic workers in New York. New York is one of those 8 states where there is a Bill of Rights protecting domestic workers. It seems as though the path from the idea to protect domestic workers to the place where we're now talking about a federal Bill of Rights was many years in the making.
No, that's right. And in some ways, as we grew from organizing in New York or in cities like Los Angeles, and really sort of started building the organization and this movement, there are domestic workers in Texas and in Georgia where that have very little sort of protections and rights. And so the federal bill really comes out of how do we ensure basic fair standards for all domestic workers, regardless of where, of what city and state, they work and live in.
So it sounds as though it's the process by which you get a federal bill introduced includes organizing at the local and the state level and building on that work. I mean, a lot of people sort of forget that change happens from a tremendous amount of footwork that takes years to build on, right?
Yeah, and so we started in New York. The first bill was passed in 2010. And then since then, we have been able to pass 8 bills in states. And just this year, passed our first municipal bill in Seattle. And the idea was always that as we build and bring on more and more states, the idea is how are we able to actually set standards for the entire country. And so we think that given the last wave in the elections where there's a new Congress with an unprecedented, where unprecedented number of women went out to vote and will be in the new Congress in 2019, that it's a good opportunity to lift up sort of the issues of domestic work, but more broadly, the issues of care and women's equality and the needs that families will be facing, working families will be facing in this country, and that having the federal bill be sort of one solution that is facing the country as a whole.
What are the chances that this bill passes the House? I mean, the Democrats and the Senate, or actually becomes law. The Democrats may pass it in the House. That's if they can get all Democrats behind this bill and not just the progressive ones. So if the House passes it, the Senate may or may not, although these days it's not very popular to vote down bills supporting workers' rights, so they'd have to come up with some pretty good arguments. I imagine the arguments would be around the issue of it would cost too much. But what are the odds that this bill would actually become law sometime in the next year?
I mean, we're looking at it as an opportunity to really educate and put this sort of put this issue on the table as one of the critical issues of our time. And so I think that's sort of our primary goal is how do we get every new member of Congress to sign on? How are we able to make sure that Democrats and Congress like sort of prioritize this as an agenda. So we see is a really important agenda to sort of build support for.
Where can people find out more about the work that National Domestic Workers Alliance does? And is there a way for them to support the passage of this bill? I imagine contacting their congressional representatives.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, www.domesticworkers.org. There is information there about the federal bill, as well as a opportunity to sign on for support and receive regular updates.
That's domesticworkers.org. We'll link to that from our website as well. Mariana, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
My guest has been Mariana Vituro, Deputy Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, and we've been discussing the introduction of a federal domestic workers' bill of rights. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.